So yesterday we spoke about Kriyat Shema Shel Arvos, the first mitzvah, the first topic in Shas. Let's take a peek at the next topic in Shas. The Mishnah Daf Tesem Beis Maseches Brachos talks about the Zaman of Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Me'emasem Koros Hashma B'Shachris, the Mishnah says, Brachos Daf Tesem Beis. So the Mishnah gives a Zaman, Mishayakir, it's at a point before sunrise, once it's light enough, Mishayakir ben tcheles l'lavim, ben tcheles l'karsi. Once there's enough light, and I'm able to distinguish different colors. Either I'm able to distinguish blue and white, so that takes some light, or ben tcheles l'karsi, between blue and green, it's obviously a more subtle difference. So I'm going to need more light to make that second distinction, ben tcheles l'karsi. So the first sheet of Mishayakir is earlier. It's many minutes before sunrise. Second sheet of Mishayakir ben tcheles l'karsi, that's a little closer to sunrise. You need even more light to be able to differentiate between blue and green. But either way, the Zman of Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis is starting in advance of sunrise. That's the Tchilas HaZman. And what's the Sof Zman? Until when can I say Kriyat Shema? So the Mishnah has a machlokas. The first sheet is Ad HaNeitzachama, up until sunrise. You have to finish Kriyat Shema. In other words, the first sheet holds that you have the entire mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis only extends over around a half hour or so, from Mishayakir until sunrise. That's it. That's the first day of the Mishnah. And Yeshua says, no, Ad Shalosh Shavos. If up to 3 hours, into the day, because after all, kings, or as the Gemara goes on to explain, princes who live in a royal house but don't have royal responsibilities, they can laze around and get up as late as 3 hours into the day. They get up as late as 3 hours into the day, and why does that matter? Or why are we interested in the finer points of the schedule in the royal palace? The Gemara explains, because the Torah doesn't explicitly... when the Torah describes Zman Kriyat Shema, it doesn't say Yom or Boker. It says Bikumecha, B'shach Becha u'Bikumecha, the time that you're getting up. So that's why Tanakhama holds is up until sunrise, before Edison, before the modern electrical grid and before electric lights, people lived much closer to natural reality. And people tended to, before artificial electric lighting, people tended to sleep more during the winter and less during the summer, because if you've ever gone camping, you know that even if you're usually a night owl, you're actually out in the wilderness and it gets dark. By 10 o'clock, you're feeling really, really tired because it's dark. That's the way our bodies are programmed. We, over the last century plus, with the advent of artificial electric lighting, so we've figured out how we can life hack our bodies, and we can keep the lights on and we can stay up late. But that's artificial. So in a natural setting, so people were getting up. It gets light out, and you wake up. So people were up before, and certainly if you want to get to work, so you're up before sunrise, except for the B'nai Malachim. So these B'nai Malachim, they're living a spoiled lifestyle. They have no responsibilities, and everything's taken care of. So they can afford to sleep into the middle of the morning. Shalosh. Shalosh. So that's the machlokas. So the idea of davening vasikin, by the way, the idea of davening vasikin is based in part on the first sheet in this Mishnah. Because the idea of davening vasikin is to get up to Gaal Yisrael at sunrise, at HaNeitzachama. And that's in order to have both Kriyat Shema and Tefillah at the ideal time. Tefillah, Shmona Esrei, of Shacharis should ideally be not before sunrise, and Kriyat Shema of Shacharis, so we have an opinion in the Mishnah that should be before sunrise. So in order to satisfy both, you try to straddle it. You try to time yourself, depending on which Vasikin minute it is. You're going to start davening either 20 minutes before sunrise or 40 minutes before sunrise, however much time it takes to get from the beginning of davening up until Gaal Yisrael. The idea would be Kriyat Shema with its brachas before sunrise, and Shmona Esrei after sunrise. Again, based on the first sheet in this Mishnah. which is certainly ideal. It's ideal to say Kriya Shema before sunrise. Rabbi Schechter is fond of pointing out that there's a Ramban in the Milchamos, on the bottom of the Rif. Later in Bracha, this seems to indicate that there's value to saying Kriya Shema Kivasikin, even if you're not actually davening Shachris yet. If you're up early, as many of us, even more of us will be up early tomorrow, we have to make the bus. So this time of the year, sunrise is pretty late. So if you've already washed Negavas, you said Birkas HaTorah, it's not yet sunrise, you can chaparai, saying three paragraphs of Kriya Shema before sunrise. Achumra, not required in Ikra Din. What is required in Ikra Din? What is required in Ikra Din is you have to say Kriya Shema during, up until Shalosh Shos, up until 3 hours into the day. So what is 3 hours into the day? How do you define 3 hours? So we've all heard of Shalosh Manios, but you might not know that actually the first person to formulate it, I believe, is the Rambam. The Rambam explains, take a look, if you have the Pirush HaRambam, either you have a handy Mishnah with Pirush HaRambam, or you have it on the second sheet of the Maamar Kamos. This is his Pirush on this Mishnah. Sof Zman Kriya, Salud Das Rabbi Yelezer HaNetzachama, the end of the Zman Kriya for Belezer is up until sunrise. That's the first sheet of the Mishnah, according to Yeshua at Shalosh Shos. And he goes on to explain, Rabbi Yeshua says, Hu savur perish akosuv bekumecha shal shakal b'nei adam afar kama. Bekumecha means up until the point where everyone has woken up. And there are still people, the b'nei malachim, they're not getting up until the third hour. L'fikach muta likra ad sof ha-shah ha-shlisht. Okay. Then he goes on to add the following key nugget. V'da, you should see this black and white. You've heard this concept for years. This is where it comes from. V'dashakol ha-sha'oshin is k'ru b'chol ha-mishnah einan elo sha'os zmanios. You have to know that the hours mentioned here are sha'os zmanios. What does that mean? Well, perish zmanios. Wait, zmanios means they have to do with time. Well, obviously hours have to do with time. Temporal hours. Obviously hours are a measurement of time. What's a sha'os zmanios? No, it means that sh'tayim eshtayim esrei mehem b'yom v'chein b'layla. A twelfth of the day or a twelfth of the night. And it's called a Shah Zmanis because it depends on the season. The Shah Zmanis will be the Shah Zmanis of the day in January, it'll be a lot less than 60 minutes to the hour, and in July it'll be a lot more than 60 minutes to the hour, because in the winter the sun rises late, ends at a short day in the winter, and there's a long day in the summer. So in the winter, 1/12 of daylight hours is a lot less than 60 minutes. It might be 45, 50 minutes. And in the summer, the sun from sunrise to sunset could be 15, 16 hours. So a 12th of the day will be a lot more than just 60. Maybe it's 70 minutes, maybe it's 75 minutes. And so he goes on to say, take a look inside. I'm glad to take questions. V'nimtza, when it emerges, is Amro Ad Shalosh Shos, and the Mishnah says, when he says, Ad Shalosh Shos, Ki'ilu Amar Ad Sheyavar Revayom. It's really saying a quarter of the day. We don't mean 180 minutes, when we say 3 hours in the Mishnah. We mean a quarter of the day. Bein B'Tekufas Tammuz, Bein B'Tekufas Tevez. Both in the Tekufa of Tammuz, another way of saying in the summer, or the summer solstice, when the days are longest, or Tekufas Tevez. Winter solstice, when the day is the shortest. It doesn't have to do with 60 minutes. So if it's summertime and the sun rises at 4:30 in the morning, so Shalosh Shos doesn't mean 7:30. Shalosh Shos might mean 8:30. Right? And vice versa. If the sun rises in the winter at 7:30 in the morning, you don't get 3 hours until 10:30 to say Kriya Shema. It might only be until 9:30 because you have to look at the whole... All the daytime hours divided into 12 parts. Just for terminology. The terminology, the Hebrew terminology for what we usually call an hour, a 60-minute hour, is a sha'os shavos. Shin vav vav tav. Shove is even, equal. I mean, it's always 60 minutes. Sha'os shavos. The Rambam says the Mishnah here is not using sha'os shavos. The Mishnahs rarely use sha'os shavos. They're using sha'os zmanos. By the way, what's the most natural, remembering, we'll continue the theme from before, the history of technology, you have to remember the time, we're not assuming electric lights. They also weren't assuming electric clocks. Now, why the Rambam felt the need to point out Shaul's Manus? The Mishnah just sort of assumed it, and the Gemara just sort of assumed it. You know why they assumed it? What type of clock did they use? A sundial. So if you use a sundial is measuring. A sundial is measuring sunlight. So on a shorter day, there's less sunlight, and then longer day, there's more sunlight. It's a very natural way. Again, if you're living close to the earth, again, there are different ways to build sundials, and there are different ways to build sundials. So you can tweak them so you will get, depending on the season. Dividing the day into 12 parts, dividing the night into 12 parts, but especially the day, is a very, very natural thing to do. And sundial hours, is essentially. And that's what Rambam says. Again, you've been hearing it for years. This is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. This Rambam, and the Pirush Mishnah on this Mishnah, he's the one who points it out. Yeah. Were they waking up on Shavuos Manos or Shavuos Shavuos?
Yeah,
they probably were waking up on Shavuos Manos. Because, again, it has to do with...
If they go to sleep earlier, if the day is shorter, since there's less light. Meaning, so they aren't getting...
Again, right, I might ask you when you wake up, and you would say, oh, I wake up at 6:30, I wake up at 6:45, I wake up at 6 o'clock, I wake up at 5 o'clock. But they were waking up at what point before sunrise? How much light did you need? Or... On the other hand, how much light after sunrise would you be waking up?
But if they have no responsibilities anyway, why wouldn't they just sleep as long as they could? As long, like, all the way.
I don't know. You got to do some more research into the royal habits of late antiquity. That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Yeah, question.
Yeah, the system works really nice, like, in Israel, like, above on the equator, but what happens if you're starting to travel farther north and there's like 3 or 4 hours in a day?
So Shu is asking a great question, which we can circle back to even more as we progress further in the sugya. So Shu was pointing out that, as we said yesterday, once you think about Shavuos Manos, so the closer you are to the equator, the more constant things stay. As you head further north, things start to get more extreme. So we're used to the extreme of the New York, New Jersey area.
Not even that extreme here, though.
Right, hey, not so extreme. If you go to Stockholm, or if you go into the Yukon Territory in Canada, if you go further north, things get the difference between winter and summer gets much more dramatic. If you're if you're going to a place where in the summer, if the sun is rising at 2 a.m. and setting at 10 at night, so those are very long, very long Shavuos Manos. That's an hour and a half for each Shavuos Manos. And let's flip it. In the wintertime, if you live in Alaska, much of your day is dark, because in the wintertime, you may only have a few hours of sunlight.
Ready. I think our places in Alaska are dark the whole day.
Oh! And Chaim says, if you go far enough north, if you cross the Arctic Circle, then there'll be times when the sun disappears entirely, and you can go whole days in the winter without sunlight. You can go whole days, nights in the summer. That's a great question. That's a very fascinating question. What do you do north of the Arctic Circle? There are different approaches in Poskim. And what day is it? If the sun doesn't set for a few days in the middle of the winter. The sun doesn't rise for a few days in the middle of the winter. The sun doesn't set a few days in the middle of the summer. I mean, you lost a few days. If you're at the North Pole, that's the most extreme. So the sun rises at the beginning of spring and circles around the sky every day, and it sets at the beginning of fall, and then it disappears. So what does that mean? It's a year-long day? Clearly not. Yeah. That'll be a very long Yom Kippur. If it's Erev Yom Kippur, then you have a mitzvah to eat for a year straight. Shabbos, what day is it even? So that's something that Chaim Mivolashin and others point out. There are communities, significant communities, that are north of the Arctic Circle. So it gets complicated. So different approaches in Poskim, would you say that the day corresponds? It's sort of like the Shiloh, what do you do if you're in orbit? Now, that's even more extreme. You're in orbit, so you're seeing the sun rise and set every 90 minutes. But that means a new day?
The
dateline. Right, the dateline is a different twist. Right? So there are different approaches in Poskim. It's usually assumed that days remain 24 hours long, and we need to figure out, should we say that you're rooted in the last normal place, in the last place that you were south of the Arctic Circle, or is there some other approach? How to figure it out. But it's certainly true. If you go to Moscow, you go to Moscow in the summer, Havdalah is very, very late. There are communities that are near the Arctic Circle where they go to sleep, and you know, you make Havdalah in the morning, make Havdalah Sunday morning. People aren't able to stay up so late. But this is an interesting, edgy things, and it can bring in maybe tomorrow. I can show you a Sefer of Zmanim by Leo Levy, the Talmud Chacham and a scientist. He worked out the charts, and you see as you go further and further, closer and closer to the poles, part of the chart disappears, like it's not defined. Okay, but anyway, so that's an interesting sort of extreme. But again, let's wrap our arms around the core idea. The core idea, again, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah talks about the Shalosh Shavos, and this is a platform for Rambam to talk about the Shavos Zmanos. So take the day divided to 12, take the night divided into 12, and those are your Shavos Zmanos. Now here's a question, though. So what does that mean practically? So again, let's do something easy. Let's do something easy. And let's make the numbers simple. So let's say it's the first day of spring, and that's the equinox, because it's equal. Because the first day of spring is when the day and night are the same length.
So at the equinox, it's still not Shavuos, right?
What do you mean?
Meaning they're the same, but it doesn't make them, they don't need to be exactly 12, are they?
Well, no, it means, so let's imagine, for purpose of simplicity, let's imagine that it's going to depend on how far east or west you are, but let's go with the simple approach. The sun is rising at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's setting at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? Even Stephen. Even day. Again, there may be a tweak by a minute or so. I don't want to get into all the details of the arc distance of the sun. Well, keep it simple. Right? The sun is rising at 6 in the morning, setting at 6 in the evening. It's the first day of spring or the first day of fall. It's the equinox. Beautiful, easy day. Right? That's like the classic. And in sixth grade, Rebbe was trying to explain Shavuos Zmanos to it. That's probably where he drew him. Okay, so let's imagine sunrise is at 6 in the morning, the sunset is 6 in the afternoon. So when's the end of, when's Shavuos Zman Kriyas Shema, Rebbe said? When's Shavuos Zman Kriyas Shema?
9.
Anyone Zoom want to agree or disagree? When's Shavuos Zman Kriyas Shema? Sunrise is at 6 a.m. and sunset is at 6 p.m. When is Shavuos Zman Kriyas Shema?
Not 9.
Ah, Aaron says not 9. Sure?
Oh,
depends on the opinion. So Shua says, 1 second, that's the machlokas, Magen Avraham and Gra. Gevaldik, take a look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman and Ches, very sharp. So Shulchan Aruch just quotes the Mishnah. Here, Aruch Haim, Siman and Ches, Zaman Kriya Shema Shal Shachris, and second page of Maram Komos, Ad Sof Gimel Shos, we pass to Me'ikra Din like Rabbi Yoshua, if you want to be machmir for Netzachama Vasikin, it's beautiful Chumrah. But Me'ikra Adin, you are certainly Yotze, anytime up until the end of 3 hours. Shehu Revia Hayom, a quarter of the day. Right? That's the way the Rambam had rephrased it, as you saw in the Pirish Mishnayos. So the Gra says what most of us were assuming, and then we'll come back to the Magen Avraham. The Gra writes, this Be'er Gra later in Hilchas Pesach, this issue of Shavuos Zmanos also comes up. Until when can you eat Chametz Erev Pesach? Until when can you own Chametz Erev Pesach? The same issue, right? There are 4 Shavuos Zmanos, or 5 Shavuos Zmanos. Okay. So the Be'er Gra writes, the Gama Cheshbon Shal Shavuos Zmanos B'chol Mokom, whenever you compute Shavuos Zmanos, whether it's in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, or it's in Hilchos Pesach, or any other context, Eino Ela Minun He Ab Shin He. It's from Hanetzach Hama, from sunrise, until Shkiyas Hacham, sunset. The Heinen Nikro shows. And that's what we call hours, as in Shalosh shows, the Mishnah we saw on Daf Tes.
Sunrise to sunset.
Correct. From sunrise to sunset. And he spells it out. Ki Shosh Sha'amru Vadai Shiru Al Yom Beidin. He says, because after all, when they were using these hours, they must have been, like your Rebbe in sixth grade, thinking about the average day. The average day, the the equinox, the first day of spring, the first day of fall. Shehein Nikrav Shalos Chavdal Yom. 24 hours of the course of the day. On that day, all the hours are equal. The daytime hours and the nighttime hours. Kvar Amarti, your day shows. That is correct. On the first day of spring, the first day of fall, from sunrise to sunset, the same as from sunset to sunrise. You divide it into 12, and you get 60 minutes either way. And he goes, V'af gabe kriyashma kenu, that's true by kriyashma as well, udelo kemem aleph. I'm arguing on the Magen Avraham Reish Simin Nun Ches. The Magen Avraham on that Shulchan Aruch, he says it's different. What does he say? So the Be'er Agah quotes it, and we can see the Magen Avraham as well. Nira li dahacha l'kuli ama manina me alos ha-shachar. The Magen Avraham thinks that you should count when you compute Shos Manios. The Magen Avraham says, one second, day and night. When does the day start al pi halacha? That we discussed in Mishnah Megillah. Any mitzvah that applies during the day, like shofar, like lulav, like mila, ideally you wait until sunrise. But strictly speaking, you're yotze anytime after dawn, anytime after alos hashachar, which could be an hour or so, more or less, before sunrise, when it begins to get light. So yom begins from alos hashachar, as we saw psachim as well.
Tzeis, right?
Ah, and potentially also we should be going up until Tzeis. Now, the Magen Avraham makes it, so one second, so let's come back, let's do this again. And we were talking before, you look at my Zmanim or any other Zmanim chart, whether online or printed or any other flavor, there's always those two Zmanim of Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. Sof Zman Kriyat Shema is the Mishnah we're looking at, Ad Shalosh Shos. The Magen Avraham Zman is always earlier than the Gra. Why? Because the Gra says you go from sunrise to sunset. The Magen Avraham says you're going from Alos HaShachar. So that's going to pull it earlier. Even if you're going till Tzeis HaKochav, it's still going to pull the morning hours earlier. So that's why you might see the Gra says, according to the Gra, so my Kriyat Shema today might be 9:17, while according to Magen Avraham it's 8:53. Or let's talk about the example we were talking about a couple of minutes ago. That even day, that equinox day, first day of spring, first day of fall, when the sun rises at 6 in the morning and sets at 6 in the afternoon. So they said, oh, when's Sof Zman Kriyat Shema? It's 9 o'clock. According to Vilna Gaon, it's 9 o'clock. Because according to Vilna Gaon, you measure from sunrise to sunset. But and astronomically, that makes a lot of sense. And from a sundial perspective, that makes a lot of sense. But the Magen Avraham says, one second, there are halachic definitions for day and night. So it's very nice from sunrise to sunset. It's neat astronomically, but that's not when day starts. And that's not to say when day ends.
It's a suffix.
So we should be going from Alos HaShachar until Nate, until Shkia, or maybe even Alos HaShachar until Tezak Mechav. So that's the opinion of the Magen Avraham. And halachically speaking, in terms of halachic categories, the Magen Avraham, once you start to think about it, makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you look at Yom and Laila, Yom begins at Alos HaShachar. And Laila may well go after Shkia up until Tzeis. As our Gemara says, Psachim Tavveis. And the Vilna Gaon says, no, you go from Hanet Tachama, from sunrise until Shkia, with no suffix, no concerns. And again, the Gemara is very neat and smooth, but how does it jive with everything we know about Bein HaShemashos? And how does it jive with Alos HaShachar? And this is a sort of similar problem. This is a sort of similar problem to the one that we had yesterday with Rabbeinu Yonah. Remember Rabbeinu Yonah about the nighttime? The question, I didn't tell you yesterday who asked that question. I wanted to appreciate the question. But it happens to be the question is raised by the Shagas Arya. Shagas Arya in Simon Ches of his Chuvas. Ray said, he quotes his Torah Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says, I don't understand. How could you tell me? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, it's only learned from a drasha, so it's sufficient to anytime after Shkia. Once again, ignoring the fact that the night only starts for sure at Tzeis HaKochav. It's a little bit like the Vilna Gaon. So what's going on? So Rabbeinu Yonah is ignoring Safik Yom, Safik Laila, when it comes in the context of sort of ignoring, not really. He agrees that Kriya Shema has to be said after Seif, but somehow Vayomer could be said after Shkia. And here we have the Vilna Gaon, the Zmanim that we tend to follow. Again, it's very elegant, but how could you say that Yom is just from Hanetzach Hama to Shkia? What does this mean? What does this mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Would the Rabbeinu Yonah say that you could read Kriya Shema even after Plag, or does it have to be after Shkia that you don't have to repeat by Yom?
Probably after Shkia. Probably after Shkia.
But the reason the time of Marib would be after Plag. You
know? Well, that maybe. That's a Machokas Tanan. So yeah, you might be right. Maybe it's Shekai of Rav Yehuda. And let me show you a third question. Let me show you a third question. The third question is a an intriguing Rambam. The Torah tells us in Parsha. The Torah tells us in Parsha is both as a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and the Jews are supposed to bring an Erev Pesach afternoon. Erev Pesach afternoon. Jewish men, Jewish women, even Jewish children can participate. In the midst of Karban Pesach, you have an obligation to bring Karban Pesach. You have to shech the Karban Pesach in the afternoon. Like every Karban, it has to be, the Shechita has to happen before sunset. They say Meir closes down for business at sunset. So you have, and the Karban Pesach, the Torah says, is Bein Harbayim, in the afternoon. So you have the afternoon, after noon, up until Shkia Sachama, practically speaking, you don't spend the entire 6 hour shechting Karban Pesach, but at least in theory, that's the zone during which you could be shechting the Karban Pesach. From 12 noon to 6. Again, using approximate numbers.
That's from Chatzos to Shkia.
From Chatzos to Shkia, correct. Now again, practically speaking, the other Karban is being brought, but at least in theory, that's the time that's available for the Karban Pesach. Now, the Torah, that's in Parshas Bo. In Parshas Bahaloscha, the Torah tells the story of the Jews who missed out the next year, first year in the Midbar, they're bringing another, their second Karban Pesach of history, and there were Jews who were Tameh, they weren't able to bring it, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Moshe Rabbeinu the din of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, you missed out the first time, you might have the right to bring it, I guess, second chance on Yud Dalet Iyar, a month later. The Torah says, if there was valid cause for missing it, the Torah gives two examples of why you might have missed it the first time. Maybe you were a Tamei, an Erev Pesach, that's why you're waiting a month, or maybe you were Bederech Rechoka, you were a faraway distance. You were distant, you were remote from the Mikdash and Erev Pesach, so you couldn't reach there in time. So that's why you're too far away. I was in Bergenfield. I was in Fort Lauderdale. I was in Queens. I was in Brooklyn. I was in Manhattan. I was in the Bronx. Wherever. I was in Omaha. Or for that matter, I was in Dimona. Or I was in Haifa. I was too far away. How far away is too far away? That's the Machlokas HaTanam. And the Rambam here is quoting the view that it's half a day's journey away. 15 mil. It's a six hour distance. Well, where does 6 hours come from? So most Rishonim say that half a day's 6 hour distance is if you got started at Chatzos, the earliest time when the Mitzvah Karban Pesach begins, so then you wouldn't have made it by the end of that time. You would, if you were starting walking Chatzos, you wouldn't have made it till Shkia. Okay. But the Rambam has a twist. He says, here at the bottom of the Rambam, it's Mishal Ben Noah Ben Yerushalayim Yom Arba'asa on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, Im Aliyas HaShemesh, when the sun rose 15 mil. So you could not have reached from sunrise up until the beginning of the Zman Karban Pesach, Chatzos. So it's the same 6 hours. But again, the other Rishonim to think about the 6 hours is coming from the fact that it's from the beginning of this, if you started walking at Chatzos when the mitzvah begins, you wouldn't have arrived by sunset when the mitzvah ends. But the Rambam says it's 6 hours because if you would have started walking in the morning, when the sun rose, you wouldn't have arrived by Chatzos. Now that's really fascinating, because why are we measuring from sunrise to Chatzos? Why not from Alos HaShachar to Chatzos? It's sort of a similar problem to the problem with the Vilna Gaon Zman. Why are we all of a sudden getting caught we're ignoring Tzeis HaKochavim, we're only going with Shkia, we're ignoring Alos HaShachar, we're only going with sunrise. What's going on? So how many questions do we have? Let's count up our questions. And we'll be ready tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, to take a look at a ritva that will give us insight to answer all the questions. But let's first gather our questions. Question number one is the Gemara in Shabbos says that Ben Hashmash is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila, while our Gemara in Pesachim says that it's Yom until Tzeis HaKochavim. That's problem number one. Problem two is that Gemara Shabbos itself is an odd Gemara. It spends so much time defining from when to when is the period of Safik, but no time trying to answer the Safik and figure out when do we actually switch over from day to night, which is the real issue. And literally, Mesil Sharm this morning. You gotta keep your eye on the prize. What are you trying to accomplish? We're trying to figure out when is Laila. So why are we spending a whole block figuring out when does Ben Safik begin with Safik end? Just let's work on figuring out when does it become Laila. It seems so backwards. Problem number three is the Shagas Aris Kasha on Rabbeinu Yonah. Why does Rabbeinu Yonah say, well, for Kriya Shema, you have to wait till Seis HaKochavim, but for Zechir Sitzias Mitzrayim, Shkia is enough because it's not, because it didn't actually say Laila, it's just a drasha. What does that mean? Why all of a sudden, because of drasha, we can ignore Seis HaKochavim, which also comes up with the Graz Zmanin, his definition of Shalos Zmanios, which again is rooted in the discussion about Kriya Shema Shal Shacharis. It comes up Hilchos Pesach as well. When do other Shalos Zmanios? So the Magen Avraham, based on halachic principles, we probably should have said like the Magen Avraham. If morning starts at Alos HaShachar, so we should start counting Shalos Zmanios from Alos HaShachar. And again, that would mean on a day, the equinoctial day, when sun rises at 6 in the morning and sun sets 6 in the afternoon, according to Magen Avraham, you're not dividing 12 hours into 12 parts, you're dividing like 13, 14 hours into 12 parts. From Alos until Shkir, maybe even Seis. So how can the Vilna Gaon, the truth is that the Rabbeinu Yonah is ignoring, our Gemara in Pesachim ignores Shkia, ignores, I think the Laila only begins at Seis. The Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be comfortable ignoring Seis, and let's just go with Shkia. That's good enough. Lower standards, whatever that means. The Vilna Gaon is also ignoring Seis. We're just going to make Shabbos Zmanios from sunrise to sunset, which again, astronomically, from a sundial perspective, is more elegant, but how does that correspond to the halachic definitions of Yom and Laila? And finally, this kasha number five is this Rambam. The Rambam says, in discussing, again, Derech Rechoka of Pesach Sheni, when the Torah in Baal Oscha says you were far enough away on Erev Pesach that you qualify to be able to bring Karim Pesach Sheni, so what's far enough away? A six-hour walk. Why a six-hour walk? Unlike the other Rishonim, the Rambam says we're counting from HaNetzach Hama until the beginning of the Mitzvah Chatzos. Why not count from Alos HaShachar until Chatzos? Once again, he's ignoring Alos HaShachar. All these cases where, again, even though the Gemara, so to bring it all together, the Gemara in Shabbos says that there's a Safik Yom, Safik Laila from sunset until Seis HaKochavim. But there are all these other cases where that Safik seems to be ignored, and we seem to be either going just with Netz, going just with Shkia, or going just with Seis HaKochavim. What's going on? So we're going to bring all these kashas together tomorrow with a gorgeous ritva in Maseches Yuma, of all places. In the midst of the halachas of Avos Yom HaKippurim, seems so remote, there's a funny nusach of the Gemara. The Gemara asks a shayla. The Gemara says, we're not sure. The Gemara says, the answer is, we're not sure. It's a funny nusach of the Gemara. And there's a ritva who has a one-line, two-line ritva on that Gemara, and the Rav Soloveitchik saw that in that ritva is the key to answering all these kashas. We'll pick up with this in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.